Do you lie awake at night wishing for something better? When you look at your future a year from now, is there a light at the end of that tunnel? Do you feel like you were meant for something more? Opportunity will not come knocking on your door unless you're out there looking for it. How do you do it? Our guests on the Empower Radio Show will be sharing their secret to success. We'll be bringing you authors, speakers, entrepreneurs from many different fields who come from various backgrounds. They will be sharing their stories of success and of early failures. You'll hear about the challenges they faced when they launched their ideas and the creative ways that they overcame obstacles. Our guests will inspire you to find your way down the path to success in this ever-changing world. Jump on board and become empowered.
Hey folks, this is Linda Ballesteros. I am your host today on Empower Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me. And you know, as I always say, I appreciate you because anyone that spends time with you, that's that one commodity that you can't get back, folks. So be sure to honor the fact that they're spending time with you. And just know that that is very precious, especially as an entrepreneur or solopreneur or small business owner, because we wear many, many hats, and we could be wearing different hats as we're sitting down with someone else. So, you know, at the end of every show, I always leave you with a quote. Well, you know, I'm going to start with a quote today. The quote today is, you can get through life with bad manners, but it's easier with good manners. So that's kind of the theme for our show today. I wanted to kind of set the stage there because today our guest is Rosalinda Randall, and she is a modern-day social skills and communications expert. She focuses on helping businesses and individuals communicate and interact more effectively so that they can find greater success, get this, with a lot less drama. She's a speaker and the author of Don't Burp in the Boardroom. I love that title. Help me in welcoming Rosalinda Randall. Rosalinda, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Rosalinda, this is something you and I spoke briefly in the green room, how these are some of the things that I grew up with. These were kind of like the house rules. And it was really understood that in the house and when you're around people, there's a certain way that you present yourself. Now, what I also find is that many people get into a certain industry or a topic because of something that they've experienced. How did you get into this industry of speaking to businesses about professionalism?
Well, it was very natural, as you said when we spoke earlier. I had the foundation of behaving and respect and courtesy and consideration and all those wonderful traits that don't seem to be practiced as much these days. So I wanted a type of job so that I could stay home with our sons and work part-time, be in control of my hours, which is a reason why many people go into business for themselves. Mm-hmm. However, after a while, you know, it worked out. But going into business for yourself, I started learning quickly, if you want to be successful and make money at it, you need to invest a lot of time initially and be ready to, you know, make some sacrifices. So at a particular time in my life, I was able to take that extra time away from the family and develop this. So it was sort of a natural thing to get into because I had the foundation. And as I tell people, you know, etiquette and which fork is the right fork and which is your bread plate and all those things are very good to know, good information. To me, I focus more and I find more importance on the traits that I mentioned, being respectful to someone, being courteous, being aware and considerate of what you do and what you say and how it affects people around you. And if you have that and you're dining with someone and the rapport that you're building and developing and trust in the conversation, you're making eye contact and all that, they're probably not going to notice you picked up the wrong fork, or they will overlook it because of those other more important qualities that a person has. So as I made more and more presentations, I learned that people really wanted me to focus more on those traits, you know, how to speak to someone when they gossip about you or they say something that, that offended you, how to respond instead of react. So that's kind of essentially how I got into this, mm-hmm. and the need that's out there, and then the market was open, so wide mm-hmm. open for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you were talking about picking up the right fork. I have to tell you, I probably shake hands more with someone than I sit down and have a meal with them. So, you know, it's more important to know the proper way to shake hands, like you said, eye contact and body language than it is about the forks. Because these days, even when we do have a meal, it's usually very casual, and the silverware is wrapped in a napkin. So you know, we have to really put things in perspective here. So talk to me a little bit, Rosalinda, about the basics, how you can go into a company and how you evaluate what their needs are, because there are times where, like you mentioned, gossip is maybe spreading like wildfire, and that's that thing that can really break down the teamwork, and many businesses really struggle with building teams. And I feel like it kind of starts here, don't you?
Yes, definitely. And the way that most of the business that I get is companies contact me and they say, we're having this trouble. And many times it's with just a handful of people. But because... Mm-hmm. You know, everyone is so sensitive and they have to be very aware that they're not going to say something and the employee is going to sue them. They bring in an outside source. Human resources finds that it's less finger-pointing. It helps their relationship in the day-to-day because they aren't the ones up there, you know, wagging their finger at the people, don't do this, don't do that. So I come in kind of support whatever HR's policy are or the company's policies. Or, as I said, if they're having a struggle, for example, there were a couple of employees who smelled and wore the same shirt all week, and just so they weren't comfortable having them meet with their clients. So that was the crux of the presentation. However, I dress it up and talk about, you know, the pre and how to deal with a client, how to sit and stand, and then zero in and target on the actual problem. So most of the time, that's what it is. I worked with a group of admins. They don't like how some people speak to them, how to address that, how to, you know, tell one of the engineers, for example, not to talk to you that way. So that's mainly what I go into. So like you said, you know, the forks and all that, it's really more about the interactions these days and people misunderstanding. And that's what I promote the most. Before you jump on Yelp or send a letter to HR or run to their office, find a moment privately and clarify, say, you know, this is kind of what I got. Is that how you meant it? It just happened to me on Facebook yesterday with someone I know somewhat, an acquaintance, and I put more of my opinion on there, and it was, well, that's not what I asked for, and of course I do that. And oh my goodness, it was completely misunderstood. I didn't mean it to apply to her. This is what I do. And so I called her and we clarified it, and she goes, oh, I didn't think you'd say something like that to me. So, oh my goodness, it is, especially on social media, emails. And so I encourage people, write exactly what you want to say, not shortcuts, not, you know, bits and pieces of phrases, because it will be misunderstood and that could create even a worse situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that can be communicated in emails, like when you're talking about business communication, sending an email, it doesn't have your facial expressions, so it doesn't, you know, you don't have that inflection, so you really do have to be careful in the way that you do that. And Rosalinda, do you think that as our country becomes more diverse, do you see that sometimes it's maybe a cultural thing or the tone is different simply because it's not the way we grew up? If I go to New York, I was raised in the South, So if I go to New York, they talk really fast, Rosalinda, and I don't. So they may think I'm a little slow girl from the South. So,
yes.
You know, we no longer, our children even no longer stay in the towns and grow up around the people that know them. But we're in all parts of the country where there's different cultures. Do you think that plays into it as well?
Oh, most definitely. Even when I was growing up, we did have people from different cultures. But, you know, the one thing, we didn't have as many, I want to say. And at that time, people somewhat acclimated to whatever the vibe or the way it was done that the majority of the people did. But I think that... especially in today's workplace, we try, and I think it's a wonderful thing to try to accommodate everyone's ways, but it's impossible
right.
Because first of all, we are spending so much time learning about everyone's ways and trying to understand it that business is not getting done. You know, where's productivity when we're trying to learn about someone? And that's why it used to be where, and that's what I promote, a certain standard. And I think that's what's starting to happen again, especially with the sexual harassment and so many misunderstandings, as you said, because people, you know, have a way that they may be more curt. Like you said, they come from the East Coast, they go, get that copy done, and they're out of there. Whereas if, like you said, someone from the South, hi, good morning, were you able to get the copy done? Oh, my gosh, night and day. Who are you going to respond to more positively? I say the person from the South. But then if I wasn't raised that way, I'd go, get to the point, lady. You know, so even if you're polite, people go, oh, gosh, all these niceties, you know. So we're never, ever going to make everyone comfortable. So I say let's just try and keep it professional and civil in the workplace. And I think that alone would reduce misunderstandings and bringing less of our personal life into the workplace. I don't know when that happened, that we are one person now. We show everything. We don't just keep certain stuff at home. You know, like don't, what was that saying about dirty airing your dirty laundry?
Dirty, mm-hmm.
I think because we are allowed to, or companies have opened the door to bringing that part of our personal life in, that it has been more relaxed and more casual. Therefore, the way we speak and how we sit and our attitude about, I'll get it done tomorrow, I'm not feeling it today, is really an overwhelming, I believe that it's more in the forefront than actual productivity. We want to make people happy in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, that is impossible. So what are we left with?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of it kind of boils back down to the professionalism, just like you say, a standard. So when we talk about professionalism, it doesn't matter whether you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, whether you are an entry-level person at a corporate job or middle management. Tell me, what does professionalism look like today?
Oh, my gosh. I can tell you what it doesn't look like. But to me, if you don't mind, allow me to, you know, what it means to me. Because when people, the especially the younger ones, when I've done presentations, well, that's too formal. Professionalism meaning wearing a tie and carrying a suit and shiny shoes. No, it doesn't at all. To me, a professional is a person who's reliable. They keep their word. They finish the job. They're responsible, you know, for their behavior, for their duties. They ask questions if they don't understand something, and they take responsibility if they do something wrong and apologize. They're respectful. They listen to others' opinions. They are tactful. They're cooperative. That's another definition, that you cooperate. It isn't only to make you feel good in the workplace. It is not about you. And that you're interested in learning about the people that you deal with, and especially when you refer to entrepreneurs, I mean, taking that moment to learn about someone, not just selling, selling, selling. I've run into so many business owners or small, you know, business owners, whether it's a product or a service, And that is one thing that is a big turnoff to me, where it is just about them. Here, we're meeting for 45 minutes, and, you know, 43 of it was me trying to see if you're going to sign on the dotted line. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, what do you do? That's a huge, huge mistake that I've seen many people, especially starting out. And then finally, I think integrity. That across the board, whether you're employed by someone or not, you know, integrity, again, keeping your word, saying, I've had so many people where, yeah, I can get that done for you, I'll get it to you by Friday. It's next Friday, and I haven't heard a thing. Oh, well, I had to go out of town, and, you know, the excuses. Mm-hmm. So that's really what professionalism is to me. And taking a shower and just looking presentable. You know, you don't have to wear the fancy clothes, but just look presentable. Cover yourself and don't smell bad. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell.
Right. And when you come across, and if you're networking, if you step out of your house, you're going to run across people who are different than you. So
yes.
When you are networking, or when you do enter the boardroom, Rosalinda, there's always that person that when they walk in, everybody goes, oh my gosh, not what is he going to say today? How do you manage that? What do you do with that situation?
Well, from the people standpoint or the person that may not be aware?
Well, both, you know, because that person may not be aware that there's an odor. They may not be aware of that.
Yes, and I've been asked that so many times, where, one, hire me and I will address it. Two, if you don't, if you have a familiar working relationship with that person, I mean, if you think about it, wouldn't you want to know? Mm-hmm. Now, it could be a cultural thing in the case that I was talking about. It was, you know, changing your shirt once a week is plenty. So that is a very delicate thing. But if it's a coworker, again, and you're familiar with them, I would privately, discreetly say, you know, there has been a couple of comments, and before you get your feelings hurt, or, you know, try and do it as nicely as possible. I would want to know. And I'm a believer in sometimes taking it on. And what I mean by that is, in this example, saying, you know, one time I had something hanging out of my skirt and I didn't know, and someone came and told me, I was so thankful because, you know, whatever. Well, that's a lie. It's a white lie. But to soften the situation, you know, that's a personal decision whether you want to do that or not, but to soften the situation and then tell that person. Now, again, that person still has a choice, and I know a company who actually did that, and the person continued and said, well, that's what I do. I do not believe in showering more than once every couple of weeks, and that was that. So either you live with it, but you can't enforce that unless you change your company policies, but how do you address that? So that's one of the ways, or you have that's what bosses get paid the big bucks for. You go to the boss and have them do that. I did meet. It was an entrepreneur, and we had a meeting to get to know one another. And that person came. They were still wet with sweat from the gym in their shorts.
Oh.
Yes. And the only spot, guess what, was in the corner, in the very back. That was the only table available for us. So it was awful. I couldn't concentrate. That's the other reason, you know, do everything you can so they concentrate on your brilliant words, not the things that might be offending or smelling or making loud noises when you speak with someone. So needless to say, I was not focused on what that person, what he had to say, and I cut it short. I had to. It smelled. So, you know, sometimes if it's a short time, I always tell people, no matter what the offense is or the annoyance, let's call it an annoyance, if it's on an occasional basis, even you know, Alice or whoever that comes in and is just rude, and but you only have to see her once a week when she comes into the office for a meeting, overlook it. Well, you know, what are we going to do? Not everything has to be pleasing to us at all times also. So I believe in taking some of the responsibility in these annoyances that come across. It, you know, overlook it. I've got more important things to get done than have Alice, you know, ruin my day because she's rude. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Mm-hmm. If it does not affect my goal, go for it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Live and let live.
And, you know, you were talking about the odors, and I have to be honest with you. When I was in corporate, there were times that there were men and women that wore so much cologne that I would start sneezing the minute they would come around. So it doesn't have to be necessarily an unpleasant. It's just too much of it. And with your example of Alice, there are times when our team is better when you have someone that does challenge us by looking at an idea that is different than we had been looking at it. So that person can play a role in making us a better team, but maybe it just needs to be presented a little bit differently. Maybe Alice just needs to understand her message will be heard better if it is couched a certain way.
Certainly. And but that requires someone speaking to Alice, or even in generalities. You know, I know some HR people that have meetings and they bring up certain topics and allow their employees to address it, as long as that person doesn't feel pinpointed, you know, that this whole thing is bash on Alice. But you're right, but that requires Alice to be aware of the reaction that the person with whom she's speaking with, how they're affected. And if we are not considerate or aware of others, we're never going to get it. You know, unless someone answers back, yes, ma'am, you know, to her curt request or question, Alice may never get it. So it requires delicate conversations, and people are more and more unwilling to have those because they're afraid of how it can turn into something in, you know, the legal courts or a battle in HR. And that's the sad part, that we aren't open to hearing how we can become a better person, as you stated, a better way, or to correct some of our little quirks and annoyances.
Now, when you mentioned earlier about social media, is that something that you also address in your talks? Because that's such a sensitive topic right there.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And people, for some reason, feel that they can be someone else because their face isn't attached, even if, you know, you have your little icon with your face, but it's out there. You don't have to face-to-face deal with another person's response. You can pick and choose who and what you're going to respond to. That's not real life. When you're sitting in an office or over coffee with a client or an interview, your response has to be directed at that person. And as you said, you lose so much. The tonality, the facial expression, the everything, the pauses, the all those things. That's why I say clarify. So social media, I go and I Google everyone. I know people say, oh gosh, I try not to. No, I want to know. First of all, they put it out there. If you put it out there, I get to learn about you. And that's how I learn about people. And before I meet with someone, I do my research. And that way I also know, all right, this is where their hot point is, you know, if they're, you know, for example, the Me Too and the politics and the president and all that. Well, if I see that, not that I ever discuss that, I just change the subject, but at least I know that I better be prepared maybe for a comment. And that way I can, you know, already be calm or in agreement either way. I do not agree or disagree with anyone on certain hot topics. It's nobody's business. But we've made it people's business. So I say your social media should reflect how you do business. And, you know, I'm all for posting out there. If you feel very strongly about something, but it can be done civilly. Just like that's how I grew up. My mom let me express myself, you know, as a teenager, but it better have been done tactfully and respectfully. I could say whatever I wanted as long as I followed those two guidelines. And that's what I believe we can do. You can tell me what you like and don't like and how fervent you are without wishing, you know, death wishes and whatever, calling names. But, you know, for people, I say if you are that fervent, join a local group where you can vent of similar opinion and have a great go at it, you know, and leave your professional life on social media intact. So I
and
do.
When you're and having conversation with someone, it doesn't mean you have to agree, but it also doesn't mean that you have to, like you said, go at it with each other.
No.
That's not the purpose. If I'm sitting down and I'm networking with someone, another business owner, and they happen to mention their point of view, I don't have to get at it with them. I can just move on to the next topic.
Exactly. Or say, well, that's an interesting point.
Interesting,
or, you know,
right.
I hadn't heard. It is to me. In fact, I prefer to talk to people who are fervently, you know, fervent believers opposing the things that I believe. I want to learn what makes you so believe in what you believe, because I know what makes me. So I just think by understanding and listening, we may have less hatred for the people in general that oppose our views or opinions.
Right. Right, exactly. And I've always said if there's a room full of people that look like me and think like me, I am going to be bored to tears during that whole session.
Yes. Well, you'll have nothing to talk about. Everyone will just be nodding in agreement.
Nodding, that's correct. That's exactly right. Rosalind, we need to take a real quick commercial break here. But when we come back, could you maybe give us a couple of examples of how maybe a business called you in because of a problem and you were able to help them to resolve that?
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Great. Okay, folks, we are going to take a real quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help you take the next step in your relationship with Christ. Listen in to hear from others about their experiences of faith and the love of Christ. Call in to share your experiences at 347-989-1363. Learn more by going to toughtalkchristianradio.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Empower Radio Show. My guest today is Rosalinda Randall, and she's been talking about professionalism and etiquette and social skills. And when we went away for the commercial break, Rosalinda, I'd ask you to maybe give us a couple of examples. Before we do that, if someone's listening and they are really interested in what you're having to say and they may want to reach out to you or possibly get a copy of your book, which is Don't Burp in the Boardroom, how would they find out that information?
Well, the easiest is just go to the website, which is rosalindarandall.com. There's a link to the book, to blogs, to Twitter, to everything. So just to keep it simple, rosalindarandall.com. Thank you.
Wonderful, absolutely. So, you know, you've said that you have gone into companies and helped them with very delicate type of situations, whether it's interfering with productivity, whether it's interfering with the teamwork. What is an example of one that you can share for us?
Well, I touched upon it, and I'll just briefly repeat that, is, you know, employees who didn't bathe regularly or change their clothes, and they were meeting with clients, and I dug a little deeper, and I remembered also in the way they approached the clients, their social skills needed a little help, and they had talked to them, and it just wasn't working, so they did bring me in to break it down, like go piece by piece, like how to even get out of your car from the, you know, in the parking lot, how to walk into a building without your phone in your face, and things like that. So they had me break down every step, basically, so they had a guideline to follow, and it was clear and concise. And a lot of times companies do bring in people because it is also prep work to be able to fire that person eventually. You know, it's very difficult to fire someone, but if the company's done due diligence, we've talked to them, we've sent them to training, we've had speakers come in and train them, and it's still not happening. So be careful out there, because that could just be you. That's one thing. Another example is management, which I thought this was great. It's only happened twice, where management has me come in and train them the exact thing that I will be training their staff on, because then they can set the example. They can say, no, this is wrong, this is right, or this is what we want. And they're knowledgeable in it, because if they don't attend, then how do they know what the expectations or the standard is, if they're not practicing it? And that doesn't help build, you know, develop trust and respect within the ranks either. If management doesn't have to, I mean, you already have that in existence in corporate anyway. You know, only we have to talk like this and be polite and so on and so forth. And then another one, which was unusual, was they had me bring in because there were a lot of family and friends that they employed, and they were having struggles with the drama on and off the clock, so to speak. So I went in and gave them some tools, some techniques or guidelines on how to follow. And it was going to be difficult because everyone was used to their roles. But everyone was present, and that's the most important thing. Everyone should be present, or at least, you know, some management should be in the room so that these staff see that, okay, they want to participate too. They find this important. They're here with us, not, you know, sending us because we've been bad. Those were a few of the ones that stand out in my mind.
It's got to be another layer of challenge when it is, say, a family-owned business, or there are several family members that work at the same place, because you know, family dynamics are very unique, and they should be kept at the family reunions, not in the office, I'm sure.
Yes.
But how do you address that when it is something that they're carrying from all the years of being in this family, and then they bring that baggage or that to work every day? How do you deal with that?
Well, first of all, you know, it might be too late, but before you hire that person, if there's already a situation, don't hire that person. Just don't. It's not going to work out. You know, whatever you need to say, the dynamics that we already have, it just might not be the right fit. If something comes up in the future, definitely, you know, like, okay, they work in the back by themselves or something for that personality. Mm-hmm. So don't hire them. If you do, you know, the relationship is okay and you need their skills, then that's what I tell people. You have to treat it, and it could be very difficult, as another employee. And that has to be critical, and it has to be in writing. And what a lot of people don't do, they don't put a policies and procedures manual and standards of behavior, which more companies, because of the sexual harassment, are, you know, revamping that whole chapter in the policies and procedures manual on standard of behavior, how we speak to one another. And that has to be put in place when it's a family member or friends. And you have to include, no, you don't get to leave early because we're friends. Hey, yeah, I'll make it up tomorrow. See you later at the bar. No, you stay till 8. Everyone experiences that. And when they start taking advantage, instead of getting mad and going and telling the rest of the family and texting, oh, there he goes again, speak to them when it happens the second time. First time, you know, everyone does a little something. Privately, without announcing it, like you said, at the family reunion, and say, this is what we have to do. I expect this from other employees, and go from there. And if it's not going to work, then the difficult decision is doing that. And will you lose some family members? Will some take sides? Yes, it happens. That's just part of life. So I always say limit the family and friends then, and make sure that they are business-minded and understand and mature.
Very good advice there. So you talked about companies putting together their policies and procedures manual. Is that something that you can consult, that you could be consulted with? Because it sounds like you've got a lot of experience in that as well.
Yes, I would not even put myself in a position where I would write it up, but I would certainly, you know, to clarify, and that's when, like, the EEOC Equal Employment Opportunity, which I took a certification on sexual harassment through them, learned quite a bit of how detailed you have to be now in the standards of behavior. You can't just put, be respectful, because what that means to you and means to me are two different things. You cite examples, and when you do certain policies and procedures manual, yes, you stand there and you actually tell them what that means and what that looks like in giving them, you know, awkward and annoying situations. How could you better do this following these standards? So, yes, I could definitely help in providing examples.
And just handing someone the manual, that's not really enough. You know, here, sign that you got the a copy of the policies and procedures. I think that's still not enough to make sure that that person, like you said, really understands what that clause means.
No, I don't know personally anyone who's read word for word any policies and procedures. We flip the manual over, sign at the bottom, and start our job. And that's you know, it is our responsibility. However, no one does that. Just like, you know, the lengthy things, do you accept the terms and agreements when you make a hotel reservation or anything? Of course I do, or else I can't get my room. So, yes, I agree.
That is exactly right. That's funny. Rosalinda, we're getting, you know, close to the end of the show, and we've got those five questions that I want to ask you. But before we do, one more time, what is your website where people can get more information about you?
Oh, thank you. It's rosalindarandall.com.
Very good. So the first question is, when faced with obstacles, what kept you going?
First of all, because of my mom and dad, great upbringing, I didn't look at them as obstacles. They weren't there to stop me. My parents always taught me, you go around, you find a different way, you go over, you go under, you take a detour, whatever you need to do. And I took those as something, it was trying to tell me something. That wasn't the right timing, it wasn't the right way, not the right path, I was wasting time, do something different, rethink it. So my goal, and which is today, that's where I focus on. All these other little things, I just climb right over them, you know?
That's very good training from your parents to be more perseverance not see that as, oh, I guess I'm going to quit, because it's so easy to quit, but we don't learn anything. Accomplish anything when we see an obstacle and quit. So that's great that you continue to persevere. That's great.
Yes, and expect the obstacles. That's the other thing that people don't, to go into business. They think it's going to be smooth because, you know, Johnny across the street did it. Well, how do you know behind the scenes what happened for Johnny to get there? You know, that's the other thing.
Very good point. Very good point. So the next question is, other than a coach, who has influenced you the most?
Okay, I'm going to have to say right off the top, my parents.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, this, you know, that soul story, they came to this country and blah, blah, blah. But they instilled, like you said, perseverance. And no, you don't quit if you really want it. You just, it could take you 10 years, but that's just what you have to do. So my parents and my stubbornness, that plays a big role even today. I'm a stubborn person, and it's too detrimental at sometimes. I've wasted a lot of time because, no, I want to do my business this way. And experts tell me, well, you know, da-da-da-da-da. They're the experts in that field. And I go, nope, I want to try it anyway, and I waste time. I waste money. I'm learning to curtail that now and listen to the experts that I surround myself with. So, So, yeah, you said one thing. If I had to pick one thing, it would be parents. Secondly, would be stubbornness. Who's influenced me the most.
I can totally relate to that. So the last question is there one thing that you wish you had known early on that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Okay, if I can pick one, this one is networking. Do not allow friendships. You know, your little, I don't know, clicky groups to dictate what groups, events you attend or stop attending. That was the biggest waste of my time doing it because, oh, you're going to go, okay. I forgive me, ladies, but I think women tend to do that a little bit more. We want to please, or our friends are going, we don't, you know, it's not the right networking group, but we go anyway because we feel obligated, especially if one of our friends are putting it on. I did that forever. But then I must say, which is somewhat, you know, doesn't validate what I just said, but I did learn a lot. I learned of a lot of things that I did not want to do. So if that was one thing, find networking groups that work for you. That might sound a little selfish also, like, what can I get? No, what can you give? Because if you go to this networking group that you have, you know, round circles, all you do is sell to one another, you're never going to expand your business. And it's very safe that way. So try new groups. And if you can, try going by yourself. You'll be more productive and more approachable as well.
You know, that's such a critical point for me, because I've taught networking for many years. And one of the things that I tell people is to be strategic. You know, networking should be part of your marketing plan. What does that look like? It should not be haphazard. It should not be just because Mary called and said, I'm going and I don't want to go alone. Will you go with me? It's fine. Just know that night it may just be you having a glass of wine with a room full of people. It may not be very effective and profitable for you. But when I network, my strategy is I don't try to sell to the person in front of me. It's more about finding a referral partner, which is a totally different conversation. And it sounds like that's kind of what you're talking about, is stop selling to each other and come together and see how you can collaborate to bring more services to the same customer.
Definitely. And learn from each other's experiences of what worked and did not work. Where were you, you know, 8 years ago? I could have used that lecture or that tip. It wasn't a lecture, that advice.
Well, I certainly learned it the hard way. Let me tell you, Rosalinda, I learned it the hard way. Rosalinda, we're down to the end here. And is there something that you want to leave our listeners with that maybe you want to stress or just want to say before we leave?
Yes. First, thank you so much for inviting me. It has been a pleasurable interview. But what I want to leave with people is, I used this word earlier, overlook. Overlook things. If it doesn't stop you, hinder you from doing your job, you don't have to address every little annoyance, even offense. Even if someone offends you, stop and think how much time you want to spend on correcting that person. You're not going to change them. You can't change them. You can't change their opinion, how they view of you, what they think of you. So overlook it and move on to your goals and spend that energy on yourself and your business and other relationships that you are trying to develop.
Great, great advice there, because it seems like everybody wears their feelings on their sleeve and
yes.
just waiting for something that doesn't align with that. So that's a very
yes.
good, very good point, Rosalinda.
So
again, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. Folks, be sure to visit Rosalinda's website. That's rosalindarandall.com. Thanks so much, Rosalinda, for being on the show and sharing your expertise.
Thank you.
Well, folks, you know, we're down to the end, and, you know, I always leave you with a quote. I know I started this show with a quote, but I'm gonna leave you with one as well. And this is a quote by Rosalinda. You can be professional whether you have an entry-level job or a management position. Because what makes a person professional is how they conduct themselves. So think about it as you go out, you're interacting with people, whether it's your clients or whether you're at a networking event, whether you're with coworkers, just conduct yourself professionally. And I assure you, it'll be easier than if you walk in with those bad manners that we talked about earlier. Thanks again for joining me today on Empower Radio Show, and I'll see you next time.
As we close our show today, we want you to know it's time. The time is now for you to cast off the chains of mediocrity and reach for that brass ring. The time is now for taking that giant leap to start a business. Step out of your comfort zone and become the you that you've always dreamed of being. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Empower Radio Show. That's at MPOWERRADIOSHOW. Thank you for being with us today on the Empower Radio Show.